You can tell when a fundraiser is innovative and interesting enough to keep people coming back, and that is obviously the case with the El Paso Holocaust Museum and Study Center's biggest fundraiser, now the 8th annual Tour de Tolerance. And with me is the new executive director of the museum, Lori Shepherd. Welcome. It's nice to have you here.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
Well, before we get started about the many things we have to talk about related to the museum, let's talk a little bit about you, since you're new to us. How long have you been in El Paso?
My family has been here for about 3 years.
What brought you here?
We came actually because my partner is working for a company that has a maquiladora over in Juarez.
So work. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So work brought you here.
And your last position was where?
My last position was in Lexington, Kentucky, and I had the privilege and honor of being the executive director for a school for hearing impaired speech language delayed children.
Oh, wonderful.
Wonderful. Wonderful position. It was hard to leave, but I have to say, since we've gotten to El Paso, the warm people and warm weather have made it easy.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. And you're not only serving as executive director of the Holocaust Museum, you're still in school.
Well, I went back to school, yes.
Oh,
yes.
Boy.
Yes, I decided that if I ever had an opportunity to get my master's in public administration, that I would do that. And UTEP has a fantastic MPA program.
Wonderful.
And so I'm very excited, though, to say that I'm 8 classes away from graduating on December 14th.
Oh, congratulations. Yes,
so
yes.
I can't wait to be done. I've enjoyed every moment, but I'm ready to be done.
That new feeling will be called spare time.
Oh, yes. I've forgotten what that's like.
Yeah. You'll get a reintroduction. Now, let's start with, first of all, the Tour de Tolerance. Give us the basics, the dates, and what people need to do to be a part of it.
As you said just a moment ago, it is an innovative and exciting event. It is not just, we have a lot of runs and we have a lot of different things, but this one started by our chair, Walter Chase, 8 years ago, is a 50K, 100K ride. And then also a 5K walk and run.
So there's something there for every fitness level,
shall
we say.
There is absolutely something there for
every
age
and every
fitness. And I don't have to wear
spandex.
You don't have to wear bike shorts. And you don't have to wear bike shorts. That's the best part. So we're really excited this year. This is our second year in a new location for the tour, which is out at Art of Vinos.
I love the location.
It's fantastic.
Oh, yes.
And the food, because, you know, a lot of races, you get done, you get a bottle of Gatorade, and you're out.
No. This is
no.
going to be good. When you're questioning why you've done this halfway through, there will be no question.
Exactly. Yeah. We feed you with some wonderful Art of Vinos fare afterwards. It's really a festive atmosphere. We're going to have music and hopefully some tents and things set up. And there's massages for afterwards, because
nice.
A 100K ride is no small endeavor.
Yes.
And so there's quite a bit of things going on that'll
be fun. You know how to throw some incentive out there, don't you?
Yes. And, you know, and everybody gives you a t-shirt, but we're going to give you a really nice tech shirt, and all the riders get a water bottle. We try to do this right.
You're doing it right. What is the timeline for early registration and then the day of the event?
Still have plenty of time for early registration. It's between now and Sunday, October the 20th.
Mm-hmm.
And the cost for riders is $35. The cost for walkers and runners is $25. If you're a member of our museum, which we have a lot of members, or a senior or a military member,
Senior is 60 and older.
Okay. Correct. I would be hesitant to call that a senior, but we're going to count it as a senior because 60 is pretty young.
Oh, you're
days.
Such a sweet girl.
But so if you're a senior military member or a museum member, we're going to give you a $10 discount off of that.
Wow.
And now after October the 20th, then the prices are going to go up just a little, $40 for the riders and $30 for the walkers and runners.
Okay.
So if you're a procrastinator like me, it's going to cost you a little bit more to come out and have some fun. But it'll be worth it.
Very much worth it. And then the packets can be picked up where and when?
Now, we only have one packet pickup day, and that is Saturday, November the 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
And packet pickup is at Up and Running over on North Mesa. That's a fun day, actually, too, but that's from 10 to 5.
Okay.
And we'll get you all set up. You'll have everything you need. You'll have your bracelet for your food, your timing chip for your ride, and we'll get you all set.
So basically, anyone who wants to participate has until tomorrow to get that early bird registration rate. It's about $5 less. After tomorrow, Sunday, then it goes up a little bit, but you might need to wait and make sure your knee's going to be able to handle it or something like that, and it's still for a wonderful cause. And then the packet pickup is Saturday, 2 weeks away, November 2nd,
mm-hmm.
and then the race itself is on Sunday, November 3rd. And what time does everything kick off?
Well, everything kicks off. Now, this is going to sound scary. The 100K kicks off at 7:30 a.m., the mm-hmm. 5K at 8 a.m., and the 50K at 9 a.m.
That's okay. People who do 100K like pain,
yes,
so 7:30 is all right.
But we've picked well because that's the first day of daylight savings time.
Oh, all right.
So
all
we
right.
still are going to let you sleep an extra hour. It's going to be a little warmer when we get started.
Yeah.
Not much warmer, but a little warmer, and it should be a really good time. But the key is you've got to reset your clock.
Yes, that is a key.
Although if you don't, you'll just be really early, and I'll just put you to work volunteering.
That's right. Free coffee.
Free coffee and donuts. That's right.
This is such a great event because it's going to be for the whole family. There's such a beautiful area out there to be riding in among the views of the desert and the Sunland Park area. So it's really lovely. And then all kinds of good stuff going on when you come back to home base and enjoy music and complimentary massages and all that fun stuff.
Absolutely.
It's a full day for the whole family.
Absolutely. And this is so important to the El Paso Holocaust Museum because we are a free museum. We
yes.
do not charge. And this is our premier fundraiser. This is the one big thing we do each year to really support the great work that we do.
And the place for information or to people can sign up right online
mm-hmm.
at Tour de Tolerance, TOURDE. Tolerance.com. You have a lot of other things happening, including a brand new Holocaust Survivors webpage.
Yes, we are super excited about this. One of the things about the El Paso Holocaust Museum is that it's very much local. It's very focused on our local survivors, and it's great when we tell the story, but there's nobody that can tell the story better than those who lived the
yes.
story, who lived the history and who lived the trauma. So we just posted 18 local survivor stories on our website and gave it its own webpage. And it's just a phenomenal opportunity to give these folks a voice.
How were these oral histories taken, and did they already exist, and you're just sharing them in a different format?
They did already exist.
Ah.
They actually have come through a couple of different avenues. We had some local interviews done. There was another organization that came in and did some of the interviews, and we've culled all of those together and really brought them together in a workable format.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That we're very
to make
excited
them accessible.
About. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and those firsthand accounts are absolutely priceless. So that's so much a part of your mission, and it's delightful now that we can access them.
Absolutely. You know, one of the keys of what we do at the Holocaust Museum is education. It's probably the most important thing that we do, and this is just such a powerful educational tool. And it's important because one day these folks aren't going to be here to tell their
yes.
stories anymore.
Yeah.
And actually, several of the folks who are telling their stories aren't with
They're
us anymore.
They're already gone, yeah.
And to have a teacher be able to reach out to the internet and pull these off right there in the classroom, it's phenomenal. Our education director, Jamie Williams, and a cadre of volunteers that are too many to name have just done a magical, fantastic thing. We're beyond excited to
Wonderful.
Launch this.
Congratulations on that. It's so important. You also have a new component in your permanent gallery of exhibits regarding the Evian conference. Give us the background on this.
We do. You know, most people don't know too much about it. A lot of people would say they've never heard of the Evian conference, but it actually stands as one of the most pivotal moments in the history of the Holocaust. In March of 1938, right after the Nazi Party annexed Austria, mm-hmm. President Franklin Roosevelt called a conference to discuss the issue of all the Jewish refugees who were fleeing Nazi persecution. And for 10 days in Evian, it was a resort town, mm-hmm. 32 countries met and tried to decide what should we do about all these refugees. And sadly, while every country expressed remorse and concern, only one, the Dominican Republic, actually said, yes, we'll take some of those refugees. And in many ways, a lot of historians believe that the Evian Conference really gave Hitler the green light to go ahead with the Holocaust, because it was at that time that the revelation came that the other countries were not going to take the refugees. They had their own problems, and they had their own economic issues happening, and So for a variety of reasons, they turned these people away who desperately needed a place to go. And it really threw up a green light to Hitler that said, we're not going to intervene.
This is a very uncomfortable fact to be reminded of.
As a U.S. citizen, yes, it is. You want to believe that your country makes the right decisions all the time. And, you know, I believe that we might try, but we don't always. And I think hindsight is a powerful thing that unfortunately these diplomats didn't have at that time.
Well, to forget about this one event, this one conference, is I can't remember the exact wording, but it's to be doomed to repeat it.
George Santiago.
Yes.
To not learn history is to be doomed to repeat it.
Yes, and although it doesn't tell us what the answers are, it certainly brings the question to the fore. So again, this is apparently one panel, which is a collection of information mm-hmm. that educates the individual standing in front of it mm-hmm. about this particular
Absolutely.
Situation.
You know, when we make changes at the museum, we listen to our docents and we listen
yes.
to our resident historians. And
good idea.
All of them said, there's something missing. And
yes.
what's missing is this one pivotal moment. We need to be able to share this in a more in-depth way. And we have
Excellent.
A fantastic content committee. So
Obviously,
we brought everybody
yes.
together and we looked at what we needed to add.
Real quickly, let's touch on one more thing. I remember talking about and reading about all of the events surrounding your wartime escape exhibit and the Curious George factor. You had a great art and writing contest for kids, and you have announced your winners. In the art contest, which was for kids 6 to 11, you have your first, second, and third place winners there. And tell me what they did, and then also what the older group did, the 12 to 15.
Absolutely, absolutely. Just real quick to remind everybody who might have missed it, the Wartime Escapes exhibit was the story of Margaret and H.A. Rey's journey from France, and
yes.
they are the creators of Curious George. This was a great opportunity for us as a museum to bring in children of an age that we don't usually have.
Mm-hmm.
We usually focus on children over 12.
Yes.
So this was a fantastic opportunity to bring in much younger children and tell a bit of the story of the Holocaust in a really unique way. So the little ones did wonderful art, everything from dioramas to drawings,
mm-hmm.
and the older kids wrote some really powerful pieces.
Where can we see these works?
We put them up on our website as well.
Excellent,
and that
excellent.
Is www.elpasoholocaustmuseum.org. And
I've got to check those
out. You've
got to
check it. They're fantastic.
There's so much more I would like to cover with you, and I look forward to having you back here again soon. My guest today is Lori Shepherd. She's the new executive director of the El Paso Holocaust Museum and Study Center, inviting everyone to be part of the 8th annual Tour de Tolerance, which will be taking place on Sunday, November the 3rd. You can go online and sign up to be a part of that great event at tourdetolerance.com, or you can call 351-0048. Lori, it's such a pleasure to visit with you.
Thank you so much for having me.